One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. And listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ryan Shores. This is a Degenerate Podcast. That's Dave Callens. And that's Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
On our show, I'm very excited to have this guy. He is truly one of my favorite comics, Mr. Dan Venti, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Now, Dan, you do your own show that me and Dave were just on. It's actually going to be airing around the time of this podcast.
Yeah.
The Hang Pod.
The Hang Pod.
Is that only on iTunes, or can they find it anywhere?
It's on Podbean, Stitcher, and then Adult Male Secret Sexuality.com.
It did really well in Cleveland during the Republican National Convention.
Very
underground groups that trade 8-track copies of it. It's very exclusive.
Now, your partner's just joining us here. Mike Ula is walking into the studio right now. Sorry, Mike, we started without you.
The greatest partner.
Yeah. Anyway, so now the Hang Pod. First of all, to give everyone the gist of what the Hang Pod is, you guys have other comedians on from the local scene here in San Diego.
Yes.
And you talk some shit. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well, we came in with the idea. Hey, buddy.
We came up with the idea one night talking shit. We was like, hey, we should record this and play it out loud.
We should libel people, not just slander them.
Yeah, but I think it's not even... I don't feel it's slander.
You like to stir up the pot a little bit.
Well, the aim was just like hanging out, just having like us have comedians on.
Sure.
And how comics talk when you just hang out together somewhere. You know, we're usually at like somewhere eating food or something, you know?
Obviously.
I'm sad. So that was the idea, just hanging out, record the conversation, because usually organically funny stuff will happen.
Right.
But we had one episode where people were just telling stories about Hugo Chu.
Another comic here in San Diego.
That was my introduction to the pod. I remember it was here at the Madhouse.
Actually, crawfish boil.
I don't think anything
That was it.
Yeah, crawfish boil. But also, I think just naturally comics like to talk shit about each other.
Yes,
of course. It's one of the best parts of being a comedian.
But I think a lot of it is, some of it's like legitimate arguments or whatever you want to call it, but a lot of it's just sort of for fun, so it's good to just air it out. Like a story, like two people have two sides of a story.
Yeah.
So you get that, but...
And usually once you put it out there, it's over.
Yeah.
Now, oh boy, did that not happen this week, huh?
Well, let me give everyone a little bit of background, because I'm glad we have the guys from the Hang Pod on here to talk about it.
It's like getting an expert opinion on something. Yeah,
precisely.
We got San Diego's version of Oprah here to talk.
And half her weight.
All right. And no car.
So,
look under your chair. There's nothing.
You get shit talked about you, and you get shit talked about you.
Look under your chair. There's probably dust or something.
That's one of the best parts about it, too. Mike and I were like, hey, come on and air your grievances about people. And people come on and they talk shit. And we're like, fuck yeah, dude. And then they leave. And then other people come on and say their
right.
But Mike and I, in a zen-like way, float about.
Yes.
And just try to gain listeners from other people's
arguments. You're like the Johnny Appleseed of shit talk.
Yeah.
So you perpetuate the shit talk.
We don't perpetuate
it.
We just we have a forum for it to happen on.
Okay.
So going into this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So those of you not comedians in San Diego, what happened was this. A female, I'll say comedian, why not, for lack of a better term.
No. Hold on. Let's start from the beginning, because two big things happened this week. One, I think...
You got the issue that issue clouded.
Right. Okay, you guys tell it then.
Okay.
Shit.
Finally, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm excited.
Well, so this was the big shit that went down, probably one of the bigger things that go down in the San Diego comedy web community in the last year or so, if you discount shows. One of the comedians posted a meme with a guy's face on it who does some work down in San Diego as a comedian, though he's not a San Diego comedian, saying, don't work with this guy. And then he basically said, this guy rips people off, and by the way, maybe does some sexual assault-ish type shady stuff.
Ish.
And so I actually, that was our good buddy Michael Castleberry put that up, so I contacted Michael and I was like, hey, can you be more specific?
Great hand on that guy.
Because if you think about it, there's a difference between like, hey, this guy's a con artist, and he's a con artist and a rapist.
Right.
Like, those are very different human beings about whether or not you choose to be in a room with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, And so I contacted him. I was like, could you be more specific about that? Because I'd like to know. And
I want
to
hear more about the rape.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a detailed description?
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter, the person who had that happen to her, a San Diego comedian who came out, so I don't mind mentioning her name because she came out herself, Candace, she's like, oh, yeah, this is what happened. And she posted this video online, and it became a big thing.
Now, it wasn't a video of him attacking her, by the way. So.
Sorry, Shore, stop Googling.
Everyone was real disappointed.
Him asking her to do a bringer show?
That's a violation all in of itself.
I think he did that as well. But he apparently did sexual assault her in a car, and I guess she wasn't the only one. A bunch of people are saying
a bunch of people came forward. It's a little mini Cosby-esque situation.
Rick Martinez.
Yes.
Fuck that guy.
That guy likes cake, doesn't he, Mike?
Yeah. He loves cake.
Oh, God.
Mike,
you got the best Rick Martinez story. I heard you tell it on the Hang podcast. We're going to try and steal your listeners. Can you tell it here right now?
All right.
Yeah, dude.
Take our two listeners from us.
No, we're both right here.
He was trying to text one of my coworkers that he was a famous comic. And she was like, hey, you ever heard of this guy? He was like, no. Never in my life have I heard of him.
Yeah.
And then I just
His pattern behavior is he hits up women on dating sites.
Right.
And he gets them to go to his show.
Yeah, he gets them to go to his show.
Under the guise that it's a date.
Right.
Yeah.
But also under the guise that he's a big-time comedian.
Yes.
When actually he's just getting them to fill seats and buy tickets.
Right.
So he just plays on their emotions.
He needs their $5.
And so now he's going after one of Ula's friends.
And that you run into that typical thing where somebody's like, hey, this guy's a big-time comic. Do you know him? And you're like, no. And they're like, you must not be very big-time.
Yeah.
You don't know Rick Martinez.
Yeah.
That's kind of
he's assured me he's famous.
Listen, so as soon as I saw his little, like, his text messages were, like, gross. Like, oh, hey, baby. Oh, love. I can't wait to see you. Don't forget about the two-item minimum.
He's sending the same message to multiple women every show.
Yeah, so he uses the dating sites to get an audience.
Yeah, but I'm a little hungover, so my story's lacking in details at the moment. But
Bobby will fix it in post.
Yeah.
Pretty much what happens is I take the phone from her. And
by force. put up a good fight.
Clouding this story.
And then I just kind of troll him into buying a cake, thinking there's like, I can't remember, 18 girls or something coming for a birthday party.
I think when I heard you tell it, he said, can I bring 18 friends? Like, you know, just imagine him coming in his pants. Like, 18 paying customers.
My favorite part when you told this story, too, is that you say to him, hey, when is the show? And he said, Tuesday night. And you went, isn't that bringer night?
Yeah. I was in a great hate mood. Oh, gosh. Anytime, and again, I think we're all comics, so we all know we're shit. So anytime a comic tries to use his clout, whatever he has, to get ahead, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy 1,000 times.
My favorite part is that this cake just sadly sat on a table with 18 empty chairs sitting around.
I remember seeing a picture of that way back when you did.
Yeah, Damien said that they reserved a table for 18, so it must have just sat empty the whole time.
Yeah.
And then
that cake had front row seats.
I wonder if it had little cherries like eyes just to stare back at the camera.
During his set, he just kept looking over and like, that fucking cake.
Oh, yeah, people had to perform the cake. That's the best part. I didn't even realize that today.
You're right. You're like Kaufman, man. Yeah. Didn't you get a picture at some point later that night of?
The funny thing is because Jake Dishroom and I worked together, so he was there as this was going down, and so he was later working at the store that night. So as soon as he got there, he saw the cake just sitting there, and then later he texted me a photo of him eating it. I was like, oh, this is great! This is great. I mean, you know, that didn't do anything, you know.
No, but it's always fun to troll somebody like that.
And it's
like, turn the tables on them.
That is legitimately probably the only time you've ever pulled a reverse bringer. Where you've gotten a guy to actually pay somebody.
I didn't even think about that.
He had to pay Albertsons for that cheap-ass cake.
I feel like that's such a victory for comics everywhere.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. The story is so wonderful.
He paid Jake Dishroom. However you want to look at it, he provided him sustenance.
Yeah. But there's tons of those guys in the scene.
So, yes, there are. And, you know, sometimes they even fuck you over when you're trying to avoid them. Like, for instance, my introduction to Merck Martinez is I got contacted by a guy that was working the store. He's like, hey, do you want to perform on Tuesday night? I'm like, Tuesday's bringer night, man. I don't bring. And he goes, you don't have to bring. He's like, I love your stuff. You know, it was Jonathan Byrd. And he's like, love your stuff. Just show up and do, you know, 10 minutes. I'm like,
I'll have cake for you after.
There might be even an abandoned cake sitting amongst a bunch of empty chairs. So anyway, I'm like, all right, but I'm making this clear to you because I do know what Tuesday night is at the store. I'm not going to show up with a single person. In fact, if someone says, what are you doing tonight? I'm going to say nothing.
So
don't fucking do not ask me if there might be someone showing up. I'll put on a fake fucking mustache and tell him to leave. So to know this about me. He's like, no, yeah, totally. Oh, so anyway, God. I get there and I meet Mr. Rick Martinez. And he's like, all right, man. Well, so far there's not been anyone to show up for you. I'm like, did you talk to the guy that booked me, or did you not have a conversation with him? Because if not, point to me where he is, and I need to have that conversation with him. There will be no one showing. There will be no tally marks under my name tonight. And I will be going up for fucking 15 minutes as I was promised. Yeah. So, and he's like, oh, listen, man. I pay for this. I'm like, I know the speech, man.
I know it's coming.
I know that there's a guy from Conan in there that you flew in at your own expense. I know that you rented this room and it's all out of your own pocket. I understand. You're full of shit. When do I do my 15 minutes? So I'm like, anyway, he's like, oh, well, I'm going to have to see. I'm like, you're not seeing shit. So anyway, I go talk. I finally find the guy that booked me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This guy's like panicking, going between two people. I felt bad for him. He's sweating. He's like, okay, we're just going to have to push you a little bit further back into the lineup here. I'm like, how fucking stacked is the lineup? It's a bringer show. There's like, there's 30 people here? Not in the audience, by the way.
That's another problem with bringer shows. They're notoriously large lineups. Like 10 people minimum. Yes.
Right. And so I'm sitting at the bar now spending my money to fucking, you know, hose down Coors Lights to fight my own boredom. And like, it's been like 2 hours. I had fucking better shit to do. You know, at this point, I'm like, it's lost cost. You know, you're like, all right, I don't want to walk out because I've already sat here for 2 hours. Let me just do my whatever time they're giving me. And then like towards the end of the night, the guy's like, okay, man, and how long am I sitting there now? Like 2.5 hours? The guy who booked me is like, dude, okay, how mad would you be if, like, we had to cut you tonight? I'm like, very fucking mad. You've not seen anger. You're about to see it for the first time. This will be your introduction to madness. And he's like, and so I went over and I'm like,
you have a shirt on that says horror business.
That's
fucking crazy.
So I'm like, I'm going on. I don't care if they call one of these assholes' names and I have to run up and grab the mic and perform as, you know, Matt Taylor or whatever you want to call me. I'm like, I'm going up there and you're going to have to. And by the way, I know your security guys, they're not tough. So I'm getting the mic and I'll fend them off for 7 minutes while I do my jokes, if that's what it
just
takes.
Knocking out door guys as they come up to the stage.
Yeah. So anyways, he's like, okay. He's like, well, we're going to let you do like 6 minutes. I'm like, you're a fucking ass. Fine, I'll take the 6 minutes. Oh, and like, by the way, I don't need 6 minutes. I don't need stage time. I get plenty. Like, I don't need your fucking penance for these people that are not going to ultimately follow me on Facebook or anything. Because they're everyone's work friends who are here. So I do that. And he's like, he wanted to talk to me after, like, hey, man, listen. I just expected a little bit more from you as far as people showing up here. I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you that I'm not one of your little lackeys fucking brings people? I know that everything you're telling me is bullshit. You're a bringer promoter. Fuck you.
I wonder what happened there. I wonder if he thought, like, I wonder if he forgot the conversation he had with you.
It seemed like it, because all of a sudden he's like, I'm like, I will be bringing zero people. Like, later on, like, no one's here for you yet, man. I'm like, do you not remember 5 minutes ago?
I've never even met the guy, and
he's a delight.
I have no idea what is true or what isn't. What I do know is Candace posted that video, and then the worst human being on earth, who is apparently some friend of Rick Martinez, is just started saying horrible things. You're a lying, dirty slut, and you're just saying this because Rick didn't give you time. You're a fucking whore. You're a psycho whore.
See,
you're trying to ruin his life.
I didn't see that
shit. Oh, dude.
Oh, wow.
He did any fucking, not one message, 10 messages back and forth, going after Castleberry, everybody else who's trying to defend her. It was crazy. And then, meanwhile, so this guy, horrible human being, going after somebody who's coming out about a sexual assault that happened to them, being very honest about it. Meanwhile, at the same time, we didn't realize that our good buddy Jeffrey Berner had murdered 50 people. You
I
didn't hear
it was 30.
No. He killed 50 people in the Orlando shooting.
He was blamed for it.
Oh.
Here's blamed for it.
You blame?
And, and with that, we have the worst segue ever.
I know, yeah. Bobby.
Thank you for confusing literally every listener.
I'm sorry, I'll go slower next time.
Let's go back. So
it's like a Tarantino film. Like, yeah. Jump like three quarters of the way in, and then we're going
to. Except they dropped all the reels on the floor and then did their best to put it.
Oh, fuck. John Travolta's alive?
I got shot in the bathroom.
Yeah, he's in the bathroom. He's at the Pop-Tart.
I'm glad she posted that video. You got to call these people on their bullshit.
That's
man.
The fucked up thing, though. I didn't see. It was a video. It was like 6 minutes of her telling her story to the camera, basically. And apparently, I guess it was with the fight with that dude. Someone flagged it on Facebook, and Facebook took the video down.
When?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I saw after
it had been taken down. I was still doing it yesterday, and it's all on YouTube, and so I was still going back. By the way, if any of you guys are listening to this, go on there and just talk some shit to that dude like me and Castleberry have been doing.
You don't want to do that. Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Leave that to Dan and Mike. Yeah, that's their thing.
No, this isn't Rick Martinez. This
is
one of his boys.
They haven't booked as a guest. You're fucking up their shit.
His YouTube title is, I think it's Cali Tank or something like that. Official Cali Tank. Yeah, it's something lame. Just go on there
Big
and just
bruiser.
Berate this piece of human filth for being just the worst person on earth.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know, when you get in those little online arguments, it's nothing.
There's no win.
There's never a win.
Sometimes I feel like a win. Every once in a while, I feel like if you insult them enough in a public venue, you win.
I think you just have to be better than them. You know what I mean?
Says the guy who co-hosts the Hang podcast.
But that's what it is. Like, we address it and we move on.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And then if
true.
You see him in the street, you knock him the fuck out. You know what I mean, guys? You know, good old church values that we're all raised on.
We pick up the ashes of what Bobby destroyed. So this Rick Martinez thing is happening. It's kind of like getting everybody in the community involved. Like, holy shit, this guy's garbage. We should do something about it. Someone else, as Ryan alluded to earlier, a quote-unquote comedian chick, she posted a flyer for an LGBTQ show where she was looking for a female queer comic to be on stage while dancers twerked around her. So Jeffrey saw this post and commented back. He's like, cool, I'll take the spot. Thank you. What time should I be there?
Which is funny.
And it involved another friend of ours, Raul. So yes, two men replying to this post. That's just ironic humor.
Yeah.
We're not what you're looking for, but I'm going to pretend that I got the job.
Exactly.
She lost her shit on him. Accused him of attacking the entire LGBT community, putting her event in danger. Yeah. And guys like him are the reason Orlando happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So she blamed the Orlando shooting on him quite literally. Yeah.
Several times.
Several times. She kept going back to it. It's like, hey, those poor souls in Orlando, thanks to you. Why are you not in jail? No,
she didn't. My favorite was when she said, the bar for the show now has to put extra security. And he's like, why? There's no venue on the flyer. Nobody even knows where it is.
Yeah, she said that. She's like, she was concerned about the community being subject to abuse, which happens.
Yeah,
it's a
course.
Valid concern. But the flyer just had a date. And a time.
And then
if someone's looking to hurt some LGBTQs, they're going to have a lot of places to check in LA night.
We don't know where we're going, but we know when.
And Jeffrey, they went back and forth on messages, him and her, him trying to explain the humor of what he was doing, and her just accusing him and insulting him and whatever.
Being horrible. Not like, hey, this is why I disagree with you. It is, fuck you, you're a misogynist, you're an idiot, you're a homophobe.
But Jeffrey was even trying to explain, he's like, I don't see how I put your event in danger. You shared this flyer in a group of 2,000 people. I have 600 friends. You shared it to a lot of people.
You screenshot it side by side. Yeah. 1900s. Like,
you shared this to more people than I did. She just was not.
Okay, guys.
I read through the screenshots. Very logically answered every single thing she said.
But logic had no place in this fight.
I know. Of course not. You can't logic with some people, but use logic with some people. But he was very succinct and very on point.
We're gonna do a contest, guys. All right, you guys gonna vote who put the gay community in more danger? All right, let's see those likes come through.
It was especially appalling to see, like, when I went to her page. I used to be friends with her. I just found out because of this incident. She unfriended me at some point, which I don't care. I barely know her. But I went to her page and she made a post, all caps, about how this guy had been abusing her all night and attacking her and antagonizing her, and he's a piece of shit, and everyone needs to unfriend this person and block him and blame him forever. And she was tagging his place of work.
Yeah.
She was tagging, and her friends immediately jumped on board 1,000,000% on her side.
You go, girl. Yeah. Finally, someone to stick up for the
guys,
gay community.
Fuck these men. Like, tag his friends. I want everyone to know what a misogynist is. Like, nobody, none of her friends were like,
how? How do you attack you?
Should we maybe be objective about this?
Like, nowhere in there.
No.
I agree with her.
Yeah. I think she's reasonable, you know? Like, I really
don't know what you guys are talking about. I believe that she was tormented.
Yeah.
Anyone who has to talk to disgusting Jeffrey Berner?
Have you seen his shoes?
If you could get a community to hate Berner, I'm behind that cause.
Well, they all do already. So,
no, but Berner, he doesn't.
We want additional communities hating him.
Yeah, you know,
we're reaching out to the gay community to please hate this man.
He told me people would friend request him and then send him the most hateful messages.
Is that for real?
Yeah, for real. He was telling me about it, and I thought that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's just because a message won't go through otherwise.
Yeah.
Someone else, a friend of yours, actually compared him to Brock Turner.
Oh, that's right. And I didn't know what had happened yet. So I just see this screenshot, and she's like, you look like a school shooter. You fucking Brock Turner wannabe. And I was like, that's pretty
Who's
funny.
Brock Turner?
That's the Stanford dude.
The swim rapist.
Oh, okay.
Jeffrey raped a person behind a dumpster? What?
He raped a community behind him, right. So let's be clear.
And so I saw that. I was like, that's funny. And I screenshotted it to my friends, not even knowing why she was insulting him. I had this whole thing was like news to me.
Wow.
And so I'm like, hey, look what this chick said about Jeffrey Berner. He does look like Brock Turner. and they're like, you didn't realize what's happening right now, right? I'm like, No, I just liked it. I just thought that was funny.
And listen, playing devil's advocate, because like I could see that if you did a show and you put out a flyer and then somebody put themselves as the headliner on your flyer as a joke, I could see it being a little miffed and being like, that's annoying, and sending them a letter. The second
sending
they
him a letter. Or Bobby sits down at his desk with a quill dipped in
my feather pen.
Babe, where do we give the Elder's commemorative stamp?
Sir.
I want this to have a good stamp.
This needs to be quicker. Telegraph it is. No, sit down and writing an email or something. And she did. And she wrote to him and writing back and seeing that it was just, you know, him fucking around. And clearly he's not a homophobe. And clearly he's not a misogynist. And he's just doing his thing. Her responses were 100% inappropriate. She flipped out. She had a temper tantrum. She had an adult temper tantrum.
Oh, she did.
And she should be made fun of for it. This whole idea that she's in a different class and therefore blah, blah, blah. You're right. She is in a different class. We should make sure we're not calling out homosexual people and making fun of them for it. He didn't do that. He was making fun of himself. And then he reaffirmed it.
It was ironic humor.
Yeah. He reaffirmed it over and over again. And the fact that you're in a marginalized group does not give you the right to be a human piece of shit. And that's what she was to him. And she sent him the worst fucking messages.
Friends, dude. All of her friends.
Lied about him online and tried to get him fired. And that makes you a piece of shit of a human being.
I don't know. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm Team Lily. She didn't get the joke, so why shouldn't he be fired?
Of course.
Her completely.
I want to have Lily on the hang pod. I feel like the hang pod might be a forum for her that she'd
her
be comfortable
life with. Beef up security
Put her in danger, dude.
Danger.
I mean, the good thing I think out is that. Because Berner always does bits.
Yes.
And his
whole life is a bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what he does.
One sad bit.
I don't think he could actually talk. Like,
he talks in joke. But I think the lesson is you can't do bits with everyone.
I guess.
If you don't have that rapport, you know what I mean? You don't want to go that far.
It's true. And it's comics always like to work, you know, run bits
against each other.
And have it work out, and you're like, you're working with the logic of whatever the bit is. And that's what he was doing, but it's totally, you know, some people, you're right,
he just didn't realize
can't
that,
do
that,
it
she didn't realize that Lily has a lifelong pattern of not understanding humor at all. I don't know why she chose comedy.
She's a great comedian. Yeah.
She does not understand, like, when I see her try and grasp comedy in any form, whether it's doing it herself or putting on a show, I see her have this look on her face. Remember Data from Star Trek when he was trying to understand crying?
Here we go.
Like, she's just kind of like, it's like, no, yeah, when you feel sad, what is sad? Like, that's how she is towards comedy. Just, she cannot comprehend it.
My favorite part of that is because he works at a comedy club, Raul had to put up this apology, and you know, I'm not saying that's the only reason he did it. Maybe he felt sorry for what he did. Maybe
Her issue with Raul besides
just he was part of it? He brought
her his head forward.
Berto included
he's
him.
Pretty
in the,
fat.
Yeah,
he's kind of greasy.
He's a human.
He's a dirty beater.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So he put up this apology online and stuff, and then a day or two later, Jeffrey Berner puts up this apology, and I read it for like 4 seconds in.
Oh yeah,
like,
it totally got me.
I was like, no, Berner, you didn't do anything wrong, and you explained this logically, and you were very reasonable.
You do not
and you were
negotiate with terrorists.
Yes, you should not negotiate emotional with terrorists. And people who treat you like shit because they feel like they have a right to because they don't get your joke. You should not acquiesce to this. This is a bad thing. She should be taught that what she's doing is wrong.
But he posts his apology. Like 6 or 7 sentences. Right. It's real.
You get to one. He's like, and I'm very sorry for causing the Orlando shooting. And he went on to just mock it. And I was like, fucking A.
Yeah, I think one of his was like, I thought the Orlando shooting was funny at the time. I'm sorry I caused it. Oh, my God.
But see, holy shit. That's what I'm saying. He's just digging himself a deeper hole.
No,
yeah,
I love
like
it.
You can't, he's not going to win in that, you know?
He won to me. He fucking won to me.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know. I'm sure he'll win other people over, but with this girl, it's just
you won't win no matter what, and they proved that because Raul went and apologized to her, and she just kept attacking him.
Yeah, of course.
And Russell Brock, who is I think he's bisexual, he went to go say, "Hey, I know how you feel."
Yeah,
just
he
so
went
you know.
To her page and posted like a huge paragraph on her thread about like, "Yeah, I get this. I've had to deal with shit like this in the scene. I get mocked, whatever." They all turned on him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They started accusing him of being like a self-hating gay, and he needs counseling, and he's a piece of shit. And
also,
off.
Lily's been gay for 25 minutes.
but wait, are you serious?
She like, yeah, that's a new thing.
Yeah, she's new to that.
She's new to that, but she represents the community now.
Yeah, I remember her when she was at Space Bar, and she had a fiance.
Yeah.
And then she moved to L.A.
A fiance. Why does sexuality matter in comedy? That's like, who gives a shit about what you like?
Here's the most infuriating part to me is when you're in an argument with anyone that is responding to different points than you're making. Like, hey, he didn't really make fun of her. Oh, so you think rape is okay? Like, who? What?
Well, yeah, but that's beside the point.
Well, to answer your question, Dan, I actually do think it has a place in comedy, but it has the place of the fact that you're seeing a perspective that if you're a straight male, you don't get, which I think can be really funny. Like, Russell Brock does a good job with that. It's one of the reasons I like watching Russell. You're like, oh, yeah, I've never had these experiences because
I don't mean, on stage. I mean, I think it's great. You should explore everything and try to make everything funny. And sex is a huge part of life. And so your experience with that, whether you're gay or straight or whatever, horses, I always like to mention horses, whatever you like to do, that's cool. So you should just joke about it. But as far as like off stage or like how you, I don't know, there's so much, and it's like a niche thing now. I think like niche comedy is very popular, more and more popular. Yeah. Is that a bad word? I don't know.
Well, and
quiche comedy,
and to kind of fill that, to come full circle and fill that back in. I mean, by her exact logic, by the logic that she's using, that Jeffrey is a homophobe and a misogynist for in any way making fun of her. By her exact logic, she is an anti-Semite. So any because Jeffrey's Jewish, right? So any attack she does on any attack she does on Jeffrey makes her anti-Semitic based on her own logic.
I also think he might be a little bit autistic. So
he's definitely autistic.
Definitely on the spectrum. Asperger's one of those ones where it's genius like,
he's at least balding.
One of the funniest jokes Jeffrey has is when he starts with "People think I'm autistic, but I'm not." Like he's definitely partially autistic.
Yes. Yeah. So she attacked the Jewish community, the retarded community. Is that the
my question?
Is that the proper name?
Is that the proper name? I think it is.
Niche.
This thing went on for so long. It took up like everyone's day. Like it got to the point. It was so great to read, but it got to a point where it just got saturated. Like my own little fucking analytical neuroses took over, and at one point I got so fucking saturated with all this shit. I literally made a chart. I tallied how many people. How many comments everybody had versus how many likes all their comments got. It is a fucking huge pain.
I wish you would have brought it. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I love that anytime a fight is brought up, the hang pot is mentioned.
Right.
Bump, bump. But
Yeah, because we really enjoy doing the Hang Pod. I don't know if you guys know this. It's,
you guys do a podcast?
Yeah, we do a podcast.
We do a podcast. Yeah, we don't hate on anybody.
No.
We just let other people hate on each other.
We hate with them. We'll bring the guest on, and whatever the hate is, we'll roll with that.
Yeah. You helped me talk some shit on Steve Hofstetler, diddler.
Oh, yeah.
He does look like a diddler, though.
You know who was angry about that? Zach Miller.
He was?
Zach Miller wants to be like Steve's attorney and represent him in rebuttal. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Just fair warning.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, book that show.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
That guy, I don't even know that guy.
He's, I know.
I know. But again, this kind of goes back to like the whole Lily Jeffrey thing. Everyone has an opinion on someone they don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
True. It's like, okay. I mean, we talk shit, but we put it out there so everyone knows. Like, we just talk shit. That's what we do. But when you sit there and you actually believe the shit that you're making up on your own, that you're projecting on these other people,
right.
That's on you, man. Yeah.
Also, I feel like Mike and I are very loving guys. We're very nice.
We're of size.
And yeah. We're jolly. but we talking shit and like mean-spirited humor is what we enjoy, too. So it's like... You talk shit, but coming from a good place.
Then you give him a hug after.
Yeah. It's a likable mean.
It is.
One of the just going back to the Lily thing. One of the greatest ironies of that whole thing to me was someone commented that they recommended a chick that we know,
Jaleesa,
a bisexual girl, to be that what they were looking for on that show.
Who would do great, and she's fucking hilarious.
She's funny.
Yeah.
She got rejected from the spot because she's only bisexual.
Yeah.
Which is fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Really? Wait, what do you mean?
Because she's only bisexual. She's, I don't know.
They were looking for a lesbian comic to headline, and she was only bisexual. Yeah. And as Barbara Thompson put it, which was hilarious, a little bit of dick ruins everything.
God. Oh, Barbara Thompson.
Little something to bring back to Zach Miller for you. Just one more thing for him to defend. When someone looks like they don't have sex with anyone, it's because they fuck kids. And that's.
I wasn't ready.
I know. Yeah, I wasn't either. I had to move my chair back.
Wow, that was sex, drugs, and jokes.
Tell Zach that I'm not saying that he or Steve Hofler fucks kids. I'm saying they both look like someone who fucks kids.
I'll relay the message, man. Hey.
No, actually, what you're saying is they fuck kids. Because you said if they look like they don't fuck anyone, then they fuck kids.
That's a rule of thumb. I'm not saying they do. I have no evidence. I'm not.
He's pulling a Trump now. People are saying this. A lot of people say this.
A lot of people are saying things, but Steve Hofstetter looks like he fucks kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Taking it up.
You're trying to outhang the Hang.
I love it.
Yeah, I
love it. But again, comics, this is what we talk about when we get together. Yeah. This is how we act. Why pretend that we have this filter?
Yeah.
A lot of people do interview shows, mm-hmm. like comedian interview shows, like WTF's the big one, but like on a smaller level, like locally. And people are like, oh, so how did you get your start in comedy? And
I hate that.
Did you know no one gives a fuck about what I say? Like, unless you're funny, just be funny.
I was in college and started.
I got my start the same as the previous 124 guests.
So it's nice to just hang out and joke around and, like, you get organically funny stuff or kid rape jokes. Either way. Like Ryan.
Speaking of lawsuit any minute now.
Yeah. I'm on Team Lily and Team Hofstetler and Zach Miller team. Yeah. Well,
just to wrap this up about the thread is we just realized that this huge argument between Berner and Lily and the whole LGBT community was just a smokescreen to take away from Rick Martinez.
Right. Well, it is interesting that some of his supporters who were pumping this up a bunch, and it's like, interesting, this is like...
oh my God, it's like a conspiracy theory.
Like,
right?
This is like Adam Carolla's...
You conspiracy theories too, I know that about you.
This is Adam Carolla's theory on how Paula Poundstone caused 9/11. Because Paula Poundstone had all these child molestation charges against her. It was the biggest...
On September 10th.
It was the biggest thing in the news for 16 hours.
Yeah.
And then the towers went down and nobody's heard about it. Have you seen Paula Poundstone go to jail? Did you see the big trial of Paula Poundstone?
Nope.
think oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah. Paula Poundstone.
I didn't know this.
So psyched that 9/11 happened. She's the one person that just like, yes, when she saw those towers fall.
Jeffrey Berner is the 9/11 of the San Diego comedy community. He is a smokescreen for Rick Martino.
And who is that?
We've been saying that about Jeffrey since 9/10.
Who was that guy that played the dad on Seventh Heaven that got a bunch of dilly charges? Like, immediately before Bill Cosby like turned out to be the biggest rapist in the world,
that's
he's like,
point.
Oh, thumbs up, Cosby. Yeah. I've not heard about it. No one, like, he's probably getting parts again.
Yeah, man. I know, it's so crazy.
He was like, yeah, I fucked a kid.
Wasn't there a Cosby album?
There used to be.
Yeah. And a poster. And a poster.
There was a big framed poster over there.
Oh, yeah, you see the hooks? Yeah. The empty poster empty, hooks empty on the wall?
Can we put a photo of Berner up there?
Oh, wouldn't that
only,
be great?
Only if he's a blackface.
Yeah. Is that Jeffrey's face with, like, superimposed with the towers burning in the background? And,
we are Orlando right under it.
9/11 2001 Orlando.
That was when Jeffrey Berner went to Disney World. Yeah. We're commemorating it.
Did you guys change your Facebook photo when the tragedy strikes?
Nope.
No.
I will not be bullied.
You want to know why? Because it doesn't do shit.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You could sympathize or feel bad or empathize, whatever you want to say, with people without having to draw attention to yourself.
Yeah,
all that shit is about. It's like, look at how much of a good person I am. It's all that shit is. You know, a lot of social media.
They can tell you're not a good person.
Yeah. That would be the main argument here. But I could say, yes, you're right, and move on. But I think a lot of social media stuff is look how great I am at the end of the day.
That's right. I mean, the one exception, obviously, is the picture of the kid with chemo. It's like one like equals one prayer. You got to like that. Because
oh, yeah, of course, because
Jesus is waiting.
Likes cure cancer.
Yes.
I've said this before, is I always love when people say something like, hey, like the status. If you think cancer sucks, let's see if we can get 10,000 likes. Yeah. It makes me feel like that person doesn't fully understand what cancer is.
Yeah.
So they think like the person at the cancer factory is going to be like, shit, the people have spoken.
Like,
shut it down.
I like the doctor going in to give talk to the kids, you have cancer. The only treatment is 10,000 likes.
it's a lot like the people that do the cancer walk but don't get sponsored. They get the pink shirt and they walk. They're like, I'm helping. They're like, you're super not.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa, that's a lot of judgment. What if they find the cure to cancer on that walk?
If that happens, then I will apologize publicly.
They stumble into a lab.
What if the cure for cancer is free t-shirts?
Yeah. It's like, oh, by the way, we paid for the shirt, so we're actually out $8 for participation.
I think the cause of cancer is free t-shirts. It's a self-perpetuating industry.
That,
keep it
that
going.
Cheap dye.
It would be more effective if the cure to cancer was getting stuck in traffic, because that's what those things end up doing to the majority of people.
My friend Ashley is a cancer survivor, and I asked her, I'm like, what do you think about, and I'm not saying like she had a little melanoma and that got removed in office procedure. Like, she was, chemo, the works. And I'm like, what do you feel about when you see people on Facebook? She's like, ugh, dumb.
This is
a cancer survivor. It's like, yeah, all that fucking bullshit with one like equals one prayer. Like, fuck off.
Well, the thing is,
I didn't feel any better.
Why can't you just, you could be like, I am against. Who's not against cancer?
That's the most ridiculous thing.
People have spoken. The jury is.
It's
in.
Like,
hey, no, man, cancer's fine. Come on. If cancer killed Hitler, people are like, hey, man, cancer's good. Cancer's good.
It works out sometimes. I think that's
it's your own body, man. You can't get pissed at it. It's your own body growing out of control.
Yeah. I hate the current state of things. A lot of people have to constantly reiterate that they're for these basic ideas.
Yeah.
Like constantly they're like, by the way, I don't hate other groups based on race, but they constantly talk about it. And you're like, why do you have to?
Shouldn't
you just do that anyway? And
I'm going to come out with the controversial stance that the Holocaust was wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's what I don't like. I don't like cheap applause. Yeah. I don't like people that seek it. And
Come on. Very good. Well spoken.
But when I, every time I see someone go up either on stage or on Facebook, it's like, I just think the rape is wrong. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, so you think it's right? Like, no, of course I don't think that. I think this guy's an asshole that wants kudos.
So that's what happened to that Steve guy. I went and actually watched those heckler videos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he destroyed those hecklers.
Annihilated them.
That's all the time.
Eviscerated them.
The one at the Comedy Palace, his quote on the video is, oh, I'm defending women.
Yeah.
And then he has another video where he does a joke about ordering pizzas like better than having kids or something like that. And totally like...
Not to Steve.
And, yeah. And some girl was like, boo. You know, she's like, she's a mom, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he just starts ripping into her. I was like, I thought you were defending women and now you're attacking them. What the fuck is wrong with this?
Okay, can I just point one thing out? Has he ever once said in his act that he doesn't fuck kids? I'm just curious. Has he ever said it once? Never once. That's a fact. You can't sue me for facts.
If he comes to town again, we're going to get tickets to the show, and you're going to be the one that heckles
no,
him.
No, you've talked
gonna,
about this.
No, no. You're going to be the one that heckles him, but you're going to yell, you fuck kids. That's going to be your heckle.
Imagine how fucking even whiter his face would go.
Can we do that?
No, you can't heckle. Dude, you know, listen, I understand the premise. I understand you guys think that he is getting fake heckles and that you want to expose him and all that stuff. You're still breaking the code if you yourself.
Bobby is 100%
code?
Wrong
what
on this. Bobby
you can't
so
heckle.
Wrong.
Dude,
can't.
You just put my event in danger. Now people are going to know where to shoot.
What code is this?
You can't heckle. The fucking heckler is the worst human being in the comedy club.
That
you can't
the worst.
No, you can't fuck it. That's
the
just,
waitresses for
if
sure.
If you're a good comedian, you should love hecklers.
No, fine. If a performer spends his time sitting together, getting ready a set,
no,
he's going to do that, and
you're going into the ideal that performers are worth something. Okay? You're funny or you're not.
Agree.
As soon as you be like, someone stop me from doing my art. You know, no, fuck you. Be better. This reminds me of
trying to get people to buy alcohol.
This is just so satisfying that no one agrees with
no.
Bobby on this. I don't agree with him either.
I'm sorry.
This is a very water. Utopian ideal view of it.
This is,
I think I have it when you have more hope. You need less hope, sir.
You'll get there. How long have you been doing comedy now?
I don't know. 3 years.
There you go.
Almost. Come on.
No,
man.
I just don't. I think it's.
You ever have service so bad at a restaurant you don't tip?
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of heckling a server.
Right.
So you can heckle a comedian if they're so shitty. You're gonna heckle them.
They have to bomb for 5 minutes before I'd even accept that argument.
And this theme, we're heckling knowing the guy's a piece of shit.
Yes.
We're not heckling the performance. We're coming there.
But a bunch of people paid money for that. That's the thing. You're not just hurting
not
him.
Not on bringer there's, nights, bro.
There's a bunch of other people. Is he a bringer, though?
We bought this guy a cake also.
What if I just threw the cake at him? Is that okay?
Make sure the cake says boo in the frosting.
But you're not talking about doing this to a bringer. You're talking about doing this comedian.
Ice boo into it.
I'm specific in who I'm targeting.
What about the other people who paid for that show? You're fucking them over, too. There's 200
no,
people in that
the show better.
Who paid?
Heckler mentality.
You
are you talking if you're on stage or if you're in the audience?
If you're in the audience.
If you're in the audience and you're saying...
A bunch of people came to see Steve, right? And let's say maybe we don't appreciate him, but other people do. They paid their $20. There's 200 people sitting in there to watch it. It's the same as being in a movie theater. You don't want to hear some asshole.
No,
I wouldn't heckle someone, but I know when I perform, I like being heckled because it gives you an opportunity
to fucking
that's different.
Going back to your point about, the people have paid their $20, I guarantee that at least everyone in that room has seen at least one of us for free. They owe us. They've seen at least one comedy show for free.
Yeah, exactly.
We got fucked, so they owe us. Yeah. I'm taking that 20 back.
No, I get the idea. If you heckle, you ruin other people's nights. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with you're ruining that guy's set or that whoever that performer
and
is.
And that's arguable, but I just say, like, I think of being in a movie theater and hearing that asshole talking or screaming at the screen next to me. It's like, dude, you're not that funny. I came to see the movie, not you.
Name a movie that was ruined for you because someone talked in the theater.
I mean, I actually just watched the new Jason Bourne last night, and there was a Chinese dude talking in the theater next to me. And
you just offended the Chinese community.
That was a bad movie.
American,
it was a great movie.
No.
He was just Chinese. He was speaking in Chinese. He wasn't
you just
a Chinese.
Put his whole community in danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to that movie theater last night.
Tell me more about this code. I want to hear more about this code, though.
I just think you don't in a live performance as an audience member, you have a duty to not ruin it for other audience members. I think that everybody paid their money.
He's
and they
got
have
this
a right
weird vigilante mentality. Well, he has all kinds of weird
but
rules.
But shouldn't that just be a code for life? Right?
But what if someone's bombing and no one's enjoying it? Okay, he's not doing his job. They're already not enjoying it. What's the harm there?
Maybe. You'd have to bomb pretty hard, and you would have to be sure that what you're doing is going to make the show better.
Oh, it would.
But it, you know, if you're a heckler, you probably
that cake
not
leaves my fingertips. You know, right. Exactly. You'll know I made the right call.
They always think they're making the show better, regardless right. if you know how bad they're.
Yeah,
being.
And if you're, I mean, again, you're gonna do rough rooms where everyone's the heckler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm not complaining too. About. I'm not complaining about that. I just think that
and he's gonna stop his set and give a speech to the audience about how they're ruining
respect and
nights.
Art.
Yes. Oh no, as a performer, I used to love. I ran a little bar show called the Kumite for a while, and we had people come and they would heckle all the time. I was fine if they were heckling me. It always hurt. It always pissed me off if they heckled the comedians there because right. it's fine if you're going to do it to me, but don't do it to people I invite to this show. And that's the other
here
thing.
Here we go. Double standards.
I had to sign up for three dating apps to get these people here. I bought one of them a cake and you're ruining it.
You know what would have been awesome if somehow that backfired on us? If he was telling his jokes to just a table with a cake on it. And it became like this thing, like when Clint Eastwood talked to a chair. And it became this amazing sensation of a comic who just delivers all of his jokes to a cake. And he just blows up and everyone fucking loves it. And
comic destroys cake heckler.
That would have been so good. Like if he got a career out of that.
Wouldn't it be great you'd have to travel to gigs with a cake? Because it's like...
Yeah, you always need a cake every show you do?
It's like, sir, you don't have a rider.
He gets his fan base. They all show up with cakes. Like, talk to my cake. No, talk to my cake.
I think that's what you do. So the next time cake, Rick Red Martinez Velvet. Does a show, we all just drop off cakes.
Oh yeah, dude, that would be
wouldn't that be great?
We just troll oh, Rick God. Martinez shows yeah. with cakes, dude.
Does he know it was you, by the way? Did he ever figure that out?
I don't know.
We put it out on the Hang Pod, and then I cut a clip of just the story. It's like yes. 2 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that,
and I put that on YouTube. So, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I was considering naming it the Rick Martinez cake story, or the. I think the cake story is catchier, but I mean, I was debating whether to put his name in the title.
It was a great story. By the way, speaking of that podcast, we never got into it. How did you guys become a podcast? How did you guys decide to get together and do
Well,
the
Mike and I have been friends for a really long time, and then we took our relationship to the next level.
pre-comedian or...
No,
we became friends through comedy. Yeah. But we met one day. Mike wanted to do a podcast. Jump in or correct me if I'm wrong at any time. Mike had an idea for a podcast to do like it was like fake Tinder profiles yeah. where you recruit people to come out to comedy shows.
It's gonna be like a bunch of comics on a
it's called Cake Finder,
app, and then we would get a guy or a gal, and then we'll have them date. Each kind of speed date each comic, and then we'll podcast it, and afterwards we'll just kind of rip. And we'll sit with whoever the date was, and rip all the comics to shreds.
Yeah,
I like
that. Right. So it was a really cool idea, and we met at a coffee shop, and Mike pitched this idea to me, and I liked it a lot, but I was like thinking about it logistically,
right?
And I was like, that's going to be very hard to do. And I said, what if we just do a show where we just hang out? And Mike was like, let's do it. And like he bought microphones like the next day. So he was unlike 99% of people, Mike was like, let's do it right now. Because I had a recorder, a Zoom recorder to use. So all we needed was microphones and cable. So he got that. And then we just started right away. So it took like a month or two to like set everything up and
you learn
your
groove, right? You like figure out a while, like, oh, we got this kind of format, we sit into this groove, this works well.
What I think we just talk, we don't plan
anything.
Hang. Yeah, that's really it.
They just hang.
It's really, and again,
it's organic, we would just hang out.
GMO free.
The only thing I will say about doing podcasts, fuck Libsyn.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a podcasting network.
That was the first thing we used. Terrible.
We use Podbean now.
I do as well.
Yeah. It's the best, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You get all your data.
The metrics is the best on Podbean. Because we use Podomatic for this, and then I use Podbean for a different one. And Podbean
why can't we use that one for this one? It's so much better.
Because I didn't start it, Ryan. I didn't start it.
My favorite thing on it is the geography.
Is it too late?
Yeah, because you get to see what states people listen.
Isn't it interesting when you're like, somebody in Slovakia is listening to us?
We got a few in Europe, probably four or five countries in Europe we have listeners.
Oh, that was
people
me. I was on tour. And
people who listen. Right. But we got one listen from the Middle East, some island in the Middle East. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit.
I do that all the time because I do Facebook ads.
You
and
told
then
us
I, and
a while ago that we had like 70-some downloads from the Philippines or something where none of them listened to it. They just downloaded it.
That might happen sometimes. So sometimes if there's a server farm or something like that. But for the most part, you can see how long they've been on, how long they listened.
I don't think I
want to
see those numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear what people are saying about you behind your back? No, I don't think so. I think that would really hurt.
Well, it's more used for, targeting your audience.
Man. Yeah.
So you'll know
yeah.
Yeah, what they like.
We will shout out. We'll be like, yo, shout out to Canada and Sweden. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
I would never.
And it's like six downloads.
But it's funny because it is a weird global community. And then what gets really interesting, I don't know if you guys have had this yet, is when people from those other places start like sending you emails or
no, I want
or
that
reviews.
So badly. I want to communicate with. I want to try to communicate with.
Sure, as I feel like this is when the cameras are off. And
yeah, no, this is not
just
fun.
The
or
talking
I'm not fun or interesting.
No, let me just get this. Bobby, you knew this technology existed
yes.
all this time, right. And you've not implemented it for this show.
We can't.
Hey, remember how angry he was going to be if he didn't get
you
a spot?
You haven't seen
on the
anger yet.
This you're about to get your debut.
You guys started this podcast without me, and you started with a different server that does worse.
Hey, matches. I didn't start it. Don't lump me in with you guys.
Whatever. Anyway. Let's go back to Kid Fuckers and Cake.
It was more comfortable.
Can we call this episode Kid Fuckers and Cake?
Yes, we can.
We'll call it that.
We were going to call it Mike Ula and Dan Venti.
We're
going to
go with that. We're going to go with that.
Or
it means the same thing.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, it's the Barry White and Anderson.
Yes, which
Silva.
One's which?
Yeah, right? Which one's Kid Fucker, which one's Cake? It's a game.
I decided
that sounds like our morning radio show, Kid Fucker and
You're
Cake.
Listening to
Kid Fucker and Cake in the morning.
Yeah. At the IKEA on First and Fountain. Go down there. Give him the phrase of pace.
Get phrase of pace. I love it.
Kid Fucker and Cake. I wanna do a parody morning radio show.
Oh, God.
It's 7:27 in the AM. It's Kid Fucker and Cake here.
What do you think about that, Mr. Scream?
You're in the party zone.
Moo. Who brought a cow in here? Come on. We're trying to be serious place around here. Oh, guys. Seriously, though, it's a loony bin in here.
It's wacky, guys. It's wacky.
It's crazy.
Speaking of alter egos, do you guys ever do this? Do you try and compare people in the San Diego comedy community? For the longest time, Ula, you used to host the ACC open mic, which is the best open mic, basically, and everybody goes to
what
it.
What made you quit? I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Quit hosting that open mic.
Oh, I just...
Burnout?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like...
You got banned from the club?
Yeah, and I love that place. Did I love it? That place. That place gave me so much opportunity.
It was a great room. I mean, you got to do
well,
200
that room,
people every Wednesday.
That room was tough. When I started, that room was fucking tough. Mm. There'd be like 14 people there, and you'd just be cold the whole night.
Yeah,
it's
it
a
felt
fun
like you really
room,
had to perform. And
I feel like, yeah, it's been a while since I've been there, but I feel like it was tough because at a lot of clubs, you can't see the audience.
Yeah.
But there, you can see pretty well, and you can see that they're disinterested.
Yeah. Oh, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And it, but I realized, like, I mean, my work life, like, picked up. I got a lot of family shit going on, so I wasn't writing comedy, so I don't want to take stage time from comics who are actually trying. You know what I mean?
Well, what was interesting is you say you're not writing comedy, and I noticed this about you during those open mics. I've deemed you the Barry White of San Diego comedy. Because you can make people laugh with the inflection of your voice. You will literally not say, right, guys? Right? And you will fucking crack up the crowd. You're like, Barry White could get women wet just by the sound of his voice.
Which power is better?
I trade him for that one. I think
yours is better.
No, but see, and this is another reason that frustrates me, because, like, it's not me. I'm not. My jokes aren't funny, right? It's just I'm likable, and it kills me.
Are you though?
Yeah, you're right. I lost both.
I'm powerless. Let's leave together.
But it's like again, the fact that I know a crowd is shit when I walk on stage and I go, hey, and everyone goes, ooh, like, what the fuck? That's not a joke.
But you got a superpower, man. That's a fucking superpower. You should love that. That's amazing.
I feel like if you had, like, a rating ability, like a character, you know, like, Mike Willis' likability rating would be full.
Right.
Yeah.
Like 99%, you know?
No, but as a comic, that's deflating.
No, but you do have funny jokes, but the thing is, you don't even need them. Like, you don't need funny jokes to be successful. How many comedians can say that?
But how sad is that about comedy when you say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So every time I go down this path, it's like, fuck.
But a lot of people,
like, they're laughing at me.
People want to like they if they like you, they'll accept, not that they like you. They, you know, they like the person. So
they're more willing to give your material a favorable reaction.
But not even that. It's like you material regardless. Like, a lot of times people judge, like, they're like, do I like this person or not? And Mike's so likable. So that's a good thing. You start with, like, a leg up on the audience. You know,
right.
You start in favor with the audience, which is good. Right.
The guy with the swastika on the forehead has to a higher hill to
He's
climb.
Gotta work a little harder.
Yeah.
Gotta work a little harder.
I wish Jeffrey Brenner would stop wearing that.
way, speaking of video game characters, I don't know if you heard this. Bret Hart, famous WWF Hall of Hall of Famer. Yeah.
He was my favorite wrestler when
he
I was
He lost right. his shit recently because a new WWE video game came out, like Legends series, and Triple H's character had more attributes than his, and he fucking had a meltdown.
Really?
Yeah, he went on the air like on some radio show like, this is bullshit! I could wrestle circles around Triple H! Why is this video game character have more attributes?
He went on Kidbucker
Cake in the Morning.
He wouldn't even let them play their sound effects. He was
I thought I'd hate this kid fucker guy, but he's got a great voice and he's really likable.
Oh, so Mike is kid fucker. I'm okay with that.
Hey, I was going to have you be cake. I'm sorry, bro.
My principal was right. Counselor.
Well, I mean, when you grow up, Michael, you're going to be a famous morning DJ. The downside is you're going to be known as kid fucker.
I'll prove you wrong, principal.
Gotta take the good with the bad.
Oh, my God.
You know, real quick about ACC, you mentioned them a minute ago. I was like, they lifted all the bans. A lot of us were banned from there.
And,
yeah. So when they lifted the bans, I was almost a little bit sad because my band was going on like 3 years. That was almost like a credit to me. I was like, yeah, I've been banned for 3 years. Then they took it away.
I started bringing it up on stage that way. This next guy's been banned from a comedy club for 3 years consecutively.
That's amazing.
Now it's gone. I've lost it.
Now it's gone. Now
I've got to start over.
I got banned from working at the Comedy Store. Not performing, but working there.
Why?
By not showing up to work?
Because I would argue with the management.
He kept bringing cake to...
He kept showing up to people's gigs, throwing cake, and saying, take that, kid fucker!
I got along with the dude who managed it, but there was a girl manager. I forget her name.
Girl manager?
And for some reason, her and I clashed really hard.
I think it was sexual.
Yeah, yeah. The tension.
Yeah.
She saw me covered in popcorn butter. She was like, man, that guy.
Is it because you
making $8 an hour? I
got to
get in some of that. I forget who it was, but her and I would have full on argument. And I worked there for like 6 months, but I was doing 4 stage time, but I was like, I don't need this job because what they do there, or I feel like a lot of places, they'll be like, you need this, and if you're not gonna be here, like, you're fucked. Then
right.
You're like, your career is gonna be shit, and you're not gonna do anything, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, I can make my career shit on my own.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I well know how to do that. Just go nickname yourself Cake and join team up with a guy named Kidfucker and do
it's
a radio
a family
show.
Name.
I hope you guys start using this on the Hang Podcast, by the way. I hope you start introducing yourselves.
No, it needs to be its own thing.
I'm pretty sure Dan's gonna bring it up and I'm gonna try to like catch
downplay. Hey, Mike, remember your nickname? Like, no, I don't.
Meanwhile, if I had switched the names, he'd be like, this is Cake.
Mike would be on board. I'd be like, I don't think that's a funny joke, guys.
Well, anyway, on that note, we got to wrap it up there. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Please come back.
Absolutely.
This is Ryan for Dan, Cake Venti, and Mike. Consenting adult Ula. And Dave and Bobby.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week, cruising with the twos. When someone like looks like they don't have sex with anyone, it's because they fuck kids.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.